listening to CLNS Media, powered by betonline.ag. Go to clnsmedia.com/roll. Use our promo code CLNS50 for 50% off your first deposit.
Anything's possible!
Welcome to another edition of the CLNS Media Boston Celtics post-game show. I am your host, New Bedford Nick Sesento, and I will be joined very shortly, momentarily, by my co-host, James Hollis, a.k.a. Snotty Drippin, to cover all of tonight's action from the Boston Celtics 141-133 double overtime thriller to cap off the unofficial midpoint of the season as the Boston Celtics and the rest of the league head into All-Star Weekend. Boston Celtics once again grinding out a tough, gritty, impressive 141-133. Did I mention double overtime win against the Los Angeles Clippers, arguably one of the favorites, both in the preseason and as the season has borne itself out, to make the NBA Finals. I believe most analysts would say the West looks like a dogfight between the two Los Angeles teams, the Clippers and the Lakers, and the Boston Celtics have wins over both of those teams this season, winning their only game against the Los Angeles Lakers by over 30 points just a few weeks ago, losing the first game against these here Clippers back in November, 107-104, another close game in overtime way back on November, I believe it was November 20th, and now defeating the LA Clippers 141-133 tonight. Incredible game. What better game could you ask for to close out the unofficial first half of the NBA season as the league prepares itself for All-Star Weekend this weekend? The Boston Celtics came into this game having won 10 of their previous 12 games, including 7 in a row until they took a loss to the Rockets in Houston two nights ago. Frustrating, disappointing loss. Couldn't stop Russell Westbrook in the paint. Couldn't stop James Harden from the free throw line. And that's how the story went. Small ball basketball in Houston. Coming back to TD Garden, welcoming an old friend, an old teammate, Marcus Morris, in his first time back in Boston in a Los Angeles Clippers uniform, making his way to L.A. at the trade deadline. But all that said and all of that done, the Boston Celtics once again came out 141-133 winners, improving to 38-16 on the season and 23-5 at home. Now officially, I believe, 1.5 games behind the Toronto Raptors. I have to double-check that. 1.5 games behind the Toronto Raptors for second place in the Eastern Conference. The Los Angeles Clippers similarly remain in third place in the Western Conference. Just to break this thing down, still waiting for my co-host. I'm not sure if it's going to be Snotty Drippin. Not sure if it's going to be somebody who just appeared on my switchboard. We'll find out in a second. Just break down a couple of these little box score tidbits. The leader for tonight has to go to the game ball, has to go to Jason Tatum. 39 points, 9 rebounds, and assists. Jason Tatum lit him up early, lit him up often. 5 for 10 from 3, 14 from 23 from the field overall. An excellent game from Jason Tatum. There are a few things I didn't like about his game, but in the end, it was a W, and a convincing W at that. So we'll get into that later. Marcus Smart had another fantastic game this season. Never know what you're going to get from Marcus Smart. I guess he's like a box of chocolates. One game is going to be, you know, not much scoring, but a whole lot of defense. One game is going to be 11 three-pointers, and then it's going to be a game like this where you have 31 points on 10 of 20 shooting from the field. Only 5 of 14 from 3, and I think anybody watching this game knew early when Marcus Smart hit those early three-pointers in the first quarter that he was just going to continue shooting them. And there were moments when, more often than not, I think when we said, please, Marcus, don't hurt him. And hurt him is what he did sometimes with those three-pointers, but when the Boston Celtics needed a shot or needed a play, as usual, Marcus Smart was there and coming through with a 31-point game for the Boston Celtics to go with 4 rebounds, 3 assists, and 4 steals. I mean, that's quite the stat line. When you got Marcus Smart, who's arguably the, you know, I know he's the best defensive player on the team, but who's arguably in terms of name recognition, notoriety, in terms of star power, arguably your 4th best player on the team, if even that would, is that even fair to say? Looking at Kemba Walker, Gordon Hayward, Jason Tatum, 5th, I guess you would say, in terms of star power. And coming through with the 31-point game, just incredible. 21 points from Gordon Hayward. I mean, most of that seemed to come in the third quarter. I know he did his thing here and there in the first and second quarters. Came through critical in the fourth in an overtime when he couldn't, you know, make a shot, when he couldn't get a shot to go. He grabbed critical rebounds, forced critical turnovers, hit critical free throws. So, you know, Gordon Hayward, I made a joke about playing dad ball, and my significant other in the living room, she just overheard me, started laughing that I referred to Gordon Hayward's game as dad ball. But that's what Gordon Hayward plays. He plays dad ball, and 21 points worth of it and 13 rebounds. I mean, double-double from Gordon Hayward. You know, you wouldn't think it, but I guess, you know, in double overtime, he's going to accumulate those points. And just running down the box score real quickly, Kemba Walker, 19 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists, flirted with a triple-double, didn't quite seal the deal, didn't quite get a date with that triple-double, but 19, 9, and 7, good enough for me. Only 5 of 17 from the field, that is not good enough for me, but it is was good enough, I should say, to help propel the Boston Celtics to a W in this game, and then rounding out the starting five. Daniel Tice, who fouled out in this game on what seemed to be a fairly bogus call, but, you know, there were a lot of bogus calls in this game. I think there was something like 2 or 3 palming calls and about, you know, 4 traveling calls. I mean, how players in the NBA travel? Since when? Apparently in this game they did, but Daniel Tice, 12 points, 5 rebounds, a steal and 2 blocks. Had a nasty block. I forgot who it was on, but he slapped the ish out of somebody's ball there early in the game. Impressive. I think it was Paul George. Yeah, Paul George, Daniel Tice. Nice block on Paul George. 5 for 9 in the field, 24 points. The bench for the Boston Celtics, I mean, you can basically expect Enes Kanter, 8 points, 8 rebounds. Brad Wanamaker, 9 points. Hit a nice 3-pointer in there, but 19 points from the bench when on the other side the Clippers had just, I mean, they almost tripled that with, they did triple that with just Montrezl Harrell and Lou Williams alone, who combined for 59 points. So you had, let's see, 59, 60, 65 points from the bench for the Clippers compared to 19 points for the Celtics bench. The bench continues to be an issue. But, of course, Jaylen Brown was out this game, so rotations were a little bit different. Rotations were a little bit tighter. There were officially 10 players for the Boston Celtics playing tonight, 5 of which scored double figures, but that was mainly because Carson Edwards came in the game in garbage time. So, once again, the Boston Celtics defeating the Los Angeles Clippers, 141-133. A few tidbits for the Clippers. Kawhi Leonard, 28 points. 19 points for Landry Shamet. don't even like looking at Andrew Shamet on the court. 24 points, as I mentioned previously, for Montrezl Harrell and 35 for Lou Williams. You know, nothing chaps my ass more than watching Lou Williams come off the bench and roast the Boston Celtics. I just don't like that. Marcus Morris, only 10 points, but a couple of those points were critical threes at critical moments in the game. And finally, before I bring in, it looks like Justin Russo is going to be my co-host tonight, so we will adapt accordingly. I was told somebody else, but that's great. I always like working with new people. Just a few team stats. Boston Celtics outshooting the Los Angeles Clippers by just a couple of percentage points, nearly 44% to 42% from the field, but outshooting the Clippers from three by a significant margin, 18 of 43 for 42% from three for the Celtics, 11 of 35 from deep for the Clippers. And let's do the rebounding test because, you know, the Boston Celtics fans like to whine about the big man and about how badly the Boston Celtics need rebounding and rim protection. And let's see, the Clippers out-rebounded the Celtics by four boards, 55 to 51, and had one more block than the Celtics, 10 blocks to 9. So, once again, the Boston Celtics defeating the Los Angeles Clippers 144 to 131, or 133, my bad. And with that, I'm going to bring in my co-host, Justin Russo, says the name on my switchboard. What's up, Justin? It's nice to meet you. Nice to talk to you. Nice to co-host the show with another one of CLNS Media's finest. What did you see in tonight's game? Justin Russo, are you there? Can anybody hear me? Maybe it's quiet out there. All right, well, we'll give Justin Russo a couple of minutes to figure out his technical status with the call-in. Justin, when you get everything figured out, please press 1 or somehow let me know that you are ready to go. And with that, I'm going to remind all of our fans here at CLNS Media and the post-game show that this is a live call-in show. So for those of you that would like to discuss tonight's 141-133 double overtime victory by the Boston Celtics over the Los Angeles Clippers, please dial the HelloFresh toll-free call lines at 347-215-7771. And when you hear the automated operator, that British-sounding voice, press 1. And that'll let us know that you'd like to get on the airwaves live to discuss Boston Celtics basketball. As I mentioned, this show in the toll-free call lines is sponsored by HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. Get easy, seasonal recipes and pre-measured ingredients delivered right to your door. All you have to do is cook them and enjoy. Don't eat them raw. Cook them first. For $80 off your first month of HelloFresh, go to HelloFresh.com/CLNS80 and enter CLNS80, that's CLNS80, to get $80 off your first month of HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit prescription service with the easiest, most freshly seasonal recipes and pre-measured ingredients delivered right to your door. Tasty vittles indeed, HelloFresh. I'm going to try again. Justin Russo, you're appearing on my switchboard, so that means that you must have something to do with the show. Justin Russo, are you there? I do not hear Justin Russo. So what we're going to do is go straight back to those toll-free call lines, 347-215-7771. I see a 617 area code. I'm just going to take a shot in the dark because I'm a little bit disoriented right now. I don't have a co-host. It's functioning. We'll just go ahead and guess that this is Cuba from Dorchester. Is that you, Cuba, or is it somebody else in the 617? 617, you are live on the air. Well, that's cool, 617. If you decide you want to join the discussion of this 141-133 Boston Celtics victory over the Los Angeles Clippers, please press 1 while you're listening, and we'll get you on the air. Let's see. We have 201 area code. 201, you are live on the air. What did you see tonight? Did you want to join the discussion, or are you just listening? Area code 201. Area code 201 just hung up. See, that's normally what happens when they call in to listen and they're not ready to get on the air. Instead of just saying, no, I'm just listening, it's a hang-up. That's okay. Feel free to call back and listen. I will not click on your number again. We'll try Justin Russo one more time, and then I will get back into the analysis all by my lonesome. Justin Russo, you're appearing on my switchboard. Can you hear me? Is there a problem with my calls, or maybe it's a problem on your end trying to figure it out? Justin, what's up? All right, Justin, if you can hear me, I can't hear you. So if there's any way you can fix your technical issues, that would be awesome. If not, I'll just keep trying back because there's no shame in my game. It doesn't make for the best of shows, but we'll try it. Going back to the HelloFresh call lines, well, I guess I was. This switchboard is just going wild on me. Calls lighting up and then calls dropping. All right, just a brief aside as we get everything scheduled out. As I mentioned about 100 times, the Boston Celtics defeat the L.A. Clippers heading into All-Star Weekend, 141 to 133. I'm just looking at my notes here. I mentioned earlier in the show, Jason Tatum had a fantastic game, 39 points from Jason Tatum. He's had a fantastic stretch the past few weeks with the Boston Celtics, really carrying this team. He got the Boston Celtics out to an impressive start in this game. Game started out on a 7-0 Clipper run, and the Boston Celtics responded with a 10-0 run of their own. Back-and-forth game, as you can tell by the double overtime result, the Boston Celtics coming out on top. But this game, to me, really felt like it followed the same pattern kind of down the stretch as the first Clipper game back in November, which is a 107-104 loss in overtime. Some strange calls going down, some momentum killers, maybe on both sides. I'm a Celtics fan, so I really only notice those things. I'm looking for momentum for the Celtics. Maybe that's just a flaw in the way that I watch basketball, but when the Celtics are playing, it's hard for me to separate myself from, cheering for the home team or cheering for my team. But it just seemed like there were some just strange, some bogus calls. I have notes that, written here. One of the notes, same script as the November game, bullshit foul on Tice versus Montrez in overtime. Tice fouled out of the game on one of those fouls. I mean, just some real suspect calls. There was an offensive foul called on Jason Tatum it was barely visible. I don't even think they showed the replay. It seems like on these broadcasts, whenever there's a suspect call, the replay is kind of like, short and coming. They don't replay those calls. And this isn't one of those shows where I want to complain about the calls. It just seemed like, the Boston Celtics I would say they had a 2-point lead heading into the half. I believe it was 60-58, and then went on a somewhat of a run in the third quarter, had, I believe, upwards of a 7-point lead. Going down the stretch, there were just some of those calls that you would generally technically consider 50-50 calls ending up being Clipper calls, the calls that went in the Clippers' favor, and things that just, didn't make all that much sense. But the Boston Celtics remained poised and got themselves through it. And before I go back to these call lines, I do see 619. I have an idea who that is lighting up the switchboard, and they did indeed press 1, so I know that they do want to get live on the air. One of the few things that did bother me in this game about Jason Tatum, I mentioned this earlier in the opening monologue, is that at the end of regulation, when the Boston Celtics and the Los Angeles Clippers were tied, I believe it was 114-114, and Jason Tatum had the ball, dribbling the ball on the clear, what looked like basically just an ISO. They were going to give Jason Tatum the last shot with, I don't know how many seconds left. I think it was something like 10 seconds left or 20 seconds left. And you see Jason Tatum kind of dribbling the ball around the three-point line. And it really looked like Jason Tatum setting himself up, like he wanted to set himself up for a three-point shot. Now, you have the last possession in what would have been what was regulation, and it's the score is tied. On what planet does a player need to line themselves up and start looking for a three-point shot? The score is tied. You have the last possession of the game. You basically can take a shot with the clock at zero and either make or miss. The worst you can do is tie and go into overtime, which is ultimately what happened with the Celtics. And you have Jason Tatum looking like he's about to set up for a three-point shot. And I think that my criticism was pretty much justified, as later on in the game, he did the exact same thing, I think, towards the end of, I believe, the first overtime. He just had, you know, the ball with a few seconds left, could have to take the last shot, and he goes and takes, you know, this bogus 3-point shot that misses. It just doesn't make much sense when the game is tied and you have the last possession. And even Kevin McHale mentioned that he let Jason Tatum let the Clippers defense off the hook by basically just lining himself up for a 3-point shot when the game was tied in the last possession. And Kevin McHale literally echoed what I had said, not just at that point in the game, but also at the end of regulation. What the hell is Jason Tatum doing trying to, you know, take a three? It's like, you don't need that. You don't need that. You don't need to be the highlight. Just make the easiest, simplest play, get the W, and go home. And the Boston Celtics fortunately got the W and went home. Now get to rest. Hopefully Jaylen Brown can rest his ankles, and the rest of the team, Lob Williams, can, you know, get his hip right. Enes Kanter seemed to be hobbled. I think one of his knees, or possibly maybe it was still his hip, was bothering him. He didn't get to play much in overtime because due to that injury, he had Grant Williams out on the floor. I just don't understand. If you have a tied game, you have the last, you know, you have the chance to take the last shot, why even look for the three? Why even think about the three? Get the easiest shot. Now, if you have a wide open player, wide open, take that if that's the best shot, but not a contested shot that, you know, doesn't make any sense. But Jason Tatum, all said and done, you know, 39 points, 14 for 23 from the field, 5 for 10 from three, hit some critical free throws down the stretch. Can't complain about his game, but that was just the one thing that I saw, and I just thought it was just interesting. Sometimes these players, they want to do, you know, one player hits a three to tie, or one player hits a three to get the lead and, you know, take a 1 or 2 point lead. So that means the next guy got to go and, you know, answer him with a three, or has to, you know, take a three to make a highlight reel play, you know, to end the game. You know, just win the game. Don't do that. Anyways, I'm going to try one more time with Justin Russo. Justin, I see you on my switchboard. Your name is here. I know that you must have logged in regularly. Can you hear me? Are you there, Justin? All right. So I don't know who Justin Russo is. Somehow he managed to get into the Blog Talk system. He must just be listening. Justin Russo, if you want to get on the air, feel free to press 1 on your dial tone. 619, I'm guessing this is my man Snotty Drippin. It has to be James Hollis, a.k.a. Snotty Drippin. Is that you, Snotty? You come to co-host with me?
No, it's not. It's Sam from San Diego.
Ah, Sam from San Diego. Both of y'all live in San Diego, so it's a 619.
Yeah,
what's
619.
Up, Sam, in San Diego? What'd you think about the game tonight? It was quite the thriller, 141-133 in double overtime. Do you like what you saw from the Celtics tonight?
I mean, obviously anytime we get a win, especially against a top team like that on national TV, it's awesome. And that is one scary team, the Clippers. You know, they got so many options. But I really wanted to call because I had a couple of things that I saw through the game, and I was going to call whether they won or lost, because I just things that bug me that I think can come back to haunt us in the playoffs. And that's just, you know, Marcus Smart is taking too many shots in the last minute of play. I understand he's a player that we like to have him pick and roll at the top of the key to create, but I don't like him trying to score, especially not in the post late in the game when Jason Tatum can have that shot. You know, I mean, that's something I just don't understand. I don't understand why
I
can't talk to him about that. The other thing is, Gordon Hayward's on that weak side all the time. On many positions, he doesn't see the ball at all. And again, same thing. I don't trust Kemba or Smart as much as I trust Gordon at the top of the key in pick and roll. Both of those players are, you know, are fine players, and but I just don't think I think of the three, Gordon is the player that needs to be utilized the most. I just don't think he plays that well, you know, playing in the corner, getting the occasional open shot. I think he's a player that plays better when he's involved in the game. That's the way that he played in Utah, where he was a focal point. And I understand that's not going to happen quite the same way here with the guy like Tatum and Jaylen. I mean, we've got a lot of playmakers that Utah didn't have, but still, there are moments when we don't need Kemba in pick and roll. or Smart. I just don't understand. I feel like I'm constantly watching the game, watching Gordon, seeing where he's at and why he's not touching the ball and why we're not better utilizing him. And you know, honestly, he's such a big part of the future if we're going to be a title team, because we cannot lose him, because we cannot replace his salary, we cannot replace his talent. And I just think that if that doesn't change, he's going to end up leaving, because he's not going to feel that our team puts him in the best position to thrive as a player.
You know, it's interesting because we've discussed this on CLNS Media. It was actually Bobby and I, and, you know, Bobby knows his stuff. And we had this discussion about Gordon Hayward and the potential for him. You know, he has an opt-in to his contract, a player option at the end of this season. And whether or not he's going to stay, whether or not there'll be a market for him, you know, in free agency, and I imagine there will. The question is not whether somebody would like to have Gordon Hayward on their team. Regardless of what Boston Celtics fans think, I don't think there are very many teams out there that wouldn't like to have him on their team. The question was, are there teams out there that are willing to match the 30-some-odd million that he would be owed by the Boston Celtics if he were to opt into that contract? And you bring up a very interesting issue, and it's one that I brought up with Bobby Manning when we had this discussion, is that while there may or may not be a team out there that's willing to match Boston's salary or the salary that Gordon Hayward could get from the Boston Celtics, would Gordon Hayward possibly leave for, I mean, I'm not talking about a bargain basement price, but I mean, if somebody were to, let's say, offer him $30 million instead of the $34 million or whatever it is that he's going to be getting next season, or maybe $25 million, would he take slightly less money? Would he take an equal offer match from another team if it would put him in a position to be more of a lead guy, more of the number one option that could then possibly lead him into a bigger salary after that, something that would, you know, boost him back into, you know, all-star status if he can get back into all-star status, maybe sign a couple-year contract or a one-plus-one type contract to play himself back onto a team that would, you know, give him a better opportunity to be the focal point or one of the focal points, and then from there have, you know, more concrete offers in free agency in another year or two after having reestablished himself as an elite go-to player in this league. Now, I don't know, I have no clue, because what I see from Gordon Hayward is what I see on the court, and it doesn't seem like he gets too high or too low. He just seems like kind of a fairly, you know, level type of guy. He doesn't talk to the media about that type of stuff very frequently. So I don't know, but I think that you're absolutely correct that, you know, that Marcus Smart's going to do Marcus Smart things regardless of what he does, and he's already locked down for the next 3 years. He's on his second contract right now, and I think that you're absolutely right that if it comes down to who do I want handling the ball, or who do I want taking that shot, or who do I want just basically running the offense, probably Gordon Hayward over Marcus Smart. I would rather Marcus Smart do Marcus Smart things, which I'm just going to call them Marcus Smart things because there's really no other way to describe them. Just, you know, do the things that he does naturally as opposed to taking those shots. And sometimes he hits those shots, and they're shots that are at critical moments that, you know, really lift the Boston Celtics up, and not only just in terms of the scoreboard, but also in terms of, you know, elevating the, you know, the emotions on the bench and of the players on the court with him. But I agree with you. That's a position I'd much rather have Gordon Hayward in. Do you think Gordon Hayward might possibly consider anything less than or equal or less than what he could make with the Celtics in free agency, maybe opt out, if he feels like he's playing a backseat, not just to Kemba Walker, who's an all-star, not just to, you know, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, who are the two rising wings who essentially play the same position he does in different ways, but essentially the same position, and they're ascending players, whereas Gordon is in, you know, his prime, about to be, you know, close to, you know, the back end of his prime, and even taking a back seat sometimes to a guy like Marcus Smart, who the offense is just running through. What do you think, Sam? Do you think Gordon Hayward might actually consider leaving the Boston Celtics if he isn't featured in more of a prominent role in this team, especially in clutch positions?
Yeah, I mean, money-wise, we know that Daniel will probably try to do something like extend them at less money. And I know this. I think this is the year that if he were to opt out, he's at 10 years, so he can make a lot more. And I mean, we know that Danny's got to pay Jaylen, Tatum, and Kemba at max amounts, so he's obviously going to try to get Gordon for less. I don't know how that would go, but yeah, I mean, he's a player that he's a lead player. I mean, he's not a player to sit in the corner. He's a player that plays best with the ball in his hands, and I don't think he's getting it. I don't think he's getting it enough. I'm really surprised because Brad is his coach, and Brad would know that better than anyone. Because unless we're wrong, I don't see why he isn't the one with the ball at the top of the key there. Other than when Tatum has it. I mean, I'm just talking strictly when you see Kemba, Smart, and Hayward out on the court. More often than not, it is either Kemba or Smart at the top, and Kemba's and Gordon's in that corner. Sometimes Gordon will get the ball when he comes on and curls around to the top of the key. But for the most part, he stays in that corner. And I don't know. I just feel like so many times I see him not get the ball at all. And I don't know. I feel like he gets frustrated from that. I mean, I'm glad that he came through there at the end and had some big plays there. But you know, when he's not shooting the ball well, like he wasn't tonight, I just feel like, you know, sometimes when you watch players, you can sense when they have anxiety, when they're not playing with confidence. And I can kind of see that in him. And I think it's because he's not handling the ball enough. And with some players, that's their game, right? He's not a scorer first. He's a creator first. And he's one of those players that does everything. He makes the right play. And I just think he would be a happier player in that position. And I just hope that it kind of works out. Usually the playoffs will put the players in the right position. We know we're going to see Tatum a lot featured in a lot of one-on-one down the stretch. But when you're not looking for that kind of one-on-one game, I'm hoping in the playoffs that you'll see Gordon get into that pick and roll and that becomes a bread and butter play. Because, you know, when he's in that pick and roll, that also frees up a guy like Tatum in that corner, you know, so he's not having to constantly work for a shot. So anyways, those are my complaints. Other than that, I mean, obviously that's a big win for us. I didn't want to see us lose two straight going into the All-Star break and lose that momentum. And cause we got some really tough games on the other side and Toronto lost last night. We got to keep up with them. I really want that two seed, all the difference in the world. We can maybe get Kyrie and Brooklyn in that first round, and then it sets us up. So we got to get that second seed. So that's all I got. So thanks a lot. The Celtics.
Absolutely. Sam in San Diego, thank you so much for calling. Long time listener, long time caller. Always good to hear from Sam in San Diego. I do see the switchboard has lit up. We have more calls than I've seen on the CLNS Media Boston Celtics post game show in years. But before I go back to those calls, I see you 913, I see you 805, and of course I see you 978, the boss, Beto Manning. I see you all. Make sure to dial 347-215-7771 on a toll-free call line sponsored by betonline.ag. The footballs might be packed away for the season, but basketball, hockey, golf, and yes, you can even bet on the presidential elections, as you can find all the odds with our exclusive sportsbook partner, betonline.ag. They have been in the industry for over 20 years, providing customers with the first to market odds and giving you the ability to bet anytime, anywhere. Head on over to betonline.ag and use our promo code CLNS50, that's CLNS50, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit and have a little fun with some betting action today. That 50% welcome bonus is basically betonline.ag will match up to 50% of your initial betting proposition or whatever you call it. So say you want to bet $100 or you wanted to bet $100 on tonight's game, Clippers Celtics, and you put $100 down, betonline.ag would have matched 50% of your initial bet, which would have meant $50. So instead of $100, that first bet would have been $150. If you had bet $200, they would have matched you $100. I imagine there's some limit to it, like if you had bet $1 million, they probably wouldn't match you with the $500,000. But if you're making some, you know, some reasonable, you know what I'm saying, plebiscite-type bets like I would, like a measly $20, they would match my 10. So go to betonline.ag and use our promo code CLNS50 to receive your 50% welcome bonus. Betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. And with that, we're going to go straight back to the call lines. I see 913 Kansas City area, dialed 347-215-771 and pressed 1. 913, what's up, my friend?
Hey, how's it going, man?
How you doing? What's your name and where you calling from?
Oh, so this is Steven calling from Kansas City.
There you go.
So, I mean, you know, after I watched, like, you know, bits and pieces of the first half, but the second half and then the two overtimes I was able to watch. Probably one of the best games of the NBA season so far, just a really competitive game with two teams that are definitely going to be playing deep in the playoffs. But I'm not going to go too long, and I'll try to keep it short. But just really, really impressed with Jason Tatum tonight. You need 39 points, 14 and 23. And I think this was kind of – I tweeted it out. This was really kind of a watershed moment tonight where, you know, he went up against Kawhi. He went up against the Clippers, a title-contending team, and he didn't back down. And he was efficient. And we've seen some games this year where Tatum has been good, and then where he'll put up, you know, 55, 60% shooting and put up, you know, 25, 30. And then there will be a couple other games where he'll go – maybe 0-6 from three and not be as efficient. But tonight was a really good game from him, and it was just – and considering Jaylen Brown was not playing, with him being the lead dog out there, and it was a good moment. I mean, there were times when I was kind of a little frustrated because I thought Boston should have went to him more late. I mean, I know Marcus Smart at 31, I believe, but I kind of wanted them to go to Tatum a little bit more, but – it ended up happening at a good time, and it was a good win too because, you know, they're trying to catch Toronto for the 2 seed. But that's really all I got.
Awesome, Steven. I appreciate that calling from Kansas City. I think that's some good points. I think, you know, you might want the ball in certain – and that's two calls in a row that would have preferred maybe the ball in different players' hands at the end of games. But I think that, you know, when there's a win, there's a win. I think that there, as Sam in San Diego mentioned, the caller previously mentioned, you know, there's, you know, maybe some cause for concern, but hopefully by the time the playoffs come around, that these issues will be resolved. I agree. You kind of wouldn't mind having the ball in Jason Tatum's hand, or maybe even Kemba Walker's hands or Gordon Hayward's hands, as opposed to maybe a Marcus Smart's hands at the end of those games. But, you know, when things work out, you can't really be mad, and I think that's just Brad Stevens' ball. I think we've been asking at both I as a host at CLNS Media, but also I think Celtics fans that watch these games night in and night out have been asking for 5 seasons now. Is Brad Stevens ever going to sit down and have that talk with, you know, Marcus Smart about, you know, picking his shots, you know, and picking the times when he should, you know, do those things on offense? Nobody is going to question anything about Marcus Smart on defense. Nothing he does, I don't think he can do any wrong. I mean, obviously he can make mistakes, and they do happen. But he can do no wrong on defense. When those mistakes, as rare as they are when they occur, Boston fans will more than likely, I mean, unless it's the most egregious thing, overlook those mistakes. But the offensive mistakes still, you know, when they occur in the offensive kind of, like tonight, like I mentioned at the opening of the show, you know, he made those 2 3-pointers early in the game and then, you know, proceeded to shoot, I don't know how many more, but was it 11 or 12 more of those, not even more, 12 more. He made two at the beginning of the game, shot 12 more, ended up going 5 of 14. That's not the best percentage from three that you would expect from a player like that. And it's interesting that here in his fifth season, people are still kind of wondering, you know, what is Marcus Smart doing, especially in the crunch? I think in clutch time, like during games is different, but when you get into these, you know, last second possessions, what are the team's roles? I think that we've had, you know, a couple of calls now in a row that are questioning, you know, what are the roles of the team? Who is going going to take that last shot. And even I questioned, you know, what is that last shot going to be? I don't think when the game is tied, you know, speaking of getting the ball to Jason Tatum, they did that at the end of regulation. And I guess you could say maybe he was waiting for them to draw that foul, but that was a foul to give. So I don't know what he was doing, but dribbling around on the outside when the ball is tied, looking to line up a sidestep three, I can't justify that. I can't justify, you know, Marcus Smart taking some of those shots at the end of games when there are players that have statistically better odds of making those shots. But that, like I said, is Brad Stevens' system. He's gonna ride the person that has the best look. The argument, I guess, to be made is, are these really the best looks? But, I mean, a 141-133 victory in double overtime is really difficult to find complaints at that. I agree with Stephen in Kansas City that this was probably one of the best games of the NBA season thus far. Perfect way, especially on national TV, to close out the midway point of the season heading into the All-Star break. I mean, just a fantastic game all around. It was fun to watch. There were, you know, a few issues. I think we can all come out with a few issues. When the team wins, there's always, you know, things that can be just, you know, nitpicked or things that can be analyzed. And I think that's legitimate because these are issues that are going to have to be faced later on in the season, especially when the playoffs roll around. But as far as tonight, a 141-133 double overtime victory by the Boston Celtics, in which you have 39 points from Jason Tatum and 31 points from Marcus Smart, just not much to complain about. With that, I'm going to try to go back one more time to the call lines, 347-215-7771, sponsored by both HelloFresh and BetOnline.ag. We have a caller from the 805. 805, you're live on the air. Did you want to join the conversation, or are you just sitting there listening?
Oh, I'll join the conversation. I'm good.
Oh, cool. 805, what's up? What's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Justin, and I am from California.
Justin in California. What's up, Justin? What did you think about the game tonight?
It was a great game. I write for I'm a Clippers writer. It was a great game. It was an awesome game.
Oh, cool, a Clippers writer. That's awesome. Thanks for calling in.
No problem. It was an awesome game. Look, it's the second overtime game the two teams have played against each other this season. They seem very evenly matched, and you know, Boston's one of the few teams in the league who can match up on the wing with the Clippers, and tonight we saw that.
Absolutely, and it was a fun matchup. I mean, even the bench for the Clippers. I mean, as a Celtic fan and speaking to a Clipper fan, I mean, I know that you're familiar with the work of Lou Williams. It just hurts so bad to see Lou Williams do that to your team coming off the bench. But I know the Celtics aren't the only team that he lights up off the bench. That's what he's done for his entire career. He's the six-man assassin. And, I mean, that I think was the real biggest difference in this game. I think there was, what, some 62 points. I think I calculated it early, something like 62, 65 points, something like that. 69 points off the bench for the Clippers compared to 19 for the Celtics. I mean, that's pretty tough. The Celtics, I know that they were missing Jaylen Brown, but the Clippers were also, you know, Paul George left the game in the second quarter. So, I mean, and they didn't have Patrick Beverley. So both teams were shorthanded. But, I mean, that's an issue I think the Boston Celtics need to address. And I think that any Celtic fan would be envious of the scoring punch and the, you know, rebounding and defensive, weapons in Montrezl Harrell that you guys have off the bench. And I think that was really what I know you guys have a fantastic starting lineup. I think Marcus Morris is a great addition. On top of that, even though 10 points isn't the most impressive, he hit 2 3-pointers that were, to me, that really hurt my feelings late in the game. But to have the weapons that the Clippers have off the bench, I mean, that's just insane. I think it was 59 points combined for Montrez and Lou Williams. I mean, that's a luxury when, you know, you can get, you know, not the best of games from Kawhi Leonard. It was kind of a quiet game. I don't know how many scores, like 19 points from Kawhi Leonard tonight. Oh, he had 28 points. It was 19.
Yeah, he had
19 from Shamet, yeah.
Yeah, he had 17, I believe, in the first half.
Yeah, so at the end of the game, 28 and 17 in the first half, and then it takes you, then it took him an entire half and then two overtimes to get to 28. So, I mean, 28 is not a bad it's not bad for the box score by any stretch. But, I mean, as far as Kawhi Leonard is concerned, he wasn't really the guy that lit the Boston Celtics up. He did a great job tonight, but it was almost like it's strange that, you know, a superstar player like Kawhi, they can have games that are kind of quiet 28-point games. But I think he could have done a lot more. And I think the bench tonight was the massive difference. When you see the Boston Celtics cutting out Grant Williams and trying to guard Montrezl Harrell, I know he had one decent stop there down the stretch, you know, late in the game after Enes Kanter was injured and Daniel Tice fouled out. But the Clippers bench, I mean, and you just got deeper with Marcus Morris. Incredible, incredible team. And I'm glad the Boston Celtics were able to, you know, match, I think, like you said, good matchups on the wings. Very intriguing. And, again, two games in overtime. Can't ask for much more than that. It would be a nice finals, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it actually would. This was an interesting game because it felt like Boston had control almost the entire night. Ever since the Clippers started up 7-0 and then Marcus Smart had the 10-0 run by himself, it kind of just felt like Boston's game. And the Clippers just hung around and hung around and hung around. And then Marcus Morris had the offensive rebound and he hits the three to tie it in the fourth. And
yes,
like Kawhi's shot selection in the fourth quarter and overtimes kind of just looked like it wasn't ideal for him. And they just relied a lot on Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell to score, and they did. But look, man, Jason Tatum carved him up at the end. Marcus Smart made plays when he had to. And the most incredible stat from this game, which I don't know if you guys knew this, is coming into tonight, the Clippers were 29-0 when they out-rebounded their opponents. They out-rebounded Boston tonight but lost.
Wow. Yeah, we spoke about reboundings. Here in Boston, or here amongst Boston Celtics fandom, there's been talk throughout the entire season about the deficiencies of our centers, the need for possibly getting another big man. Got to have Andre Drummond. And, you know, throughout most of the season, up until recently when, you know, Enes Kanter got injured and then Daniel Tice had some nagging stuff that either kept him out for a couple of games or, you know, affected his minutes or whatever else. But through most of this season, up until the past, I would say, month, the Boston Celtics were in the top 10 in team defensive rebounds. And then tonight only got out-rebounded by 4 rebounds. Now, I did not know that stat because, again, I watched the Clippers when the Celtics played them. If there's an interesting or intriguing matchup, I'll watch the Clippers play. But I didn't know that they had won every single game in which they had out-rebounded their opponents. So quite a task, quite a feat for the Boston Celtics to get out-rebounded by only 4. But still, it's out-rebounding is getting out-rebounded and managed to defeat the L.A. Clippers for the first time this season in which the L.A. Clippers out-rebounded their opponents and lost. Crazy. Interesting stat.
Yeah, it's, you know, this was a good matchup. I think the interesting thing from this game as well is it was a dogfight. Like, both teams competed all 48 minutes in regulation, obviously the 10 minutes of overtime, and it was just one of those games that was just fun. Like, no matter who won or lost, it was just a fun game. And at the end of the day, that's what sports should be all about, is fun, and it was tonight.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I mean, there were some points at the end of the game where I was, you know, kind of slapping the cushions on my couch, you know, that certain play calls and certain, you know, things that the players did. I'm never going to forget watching Jason Tatum with the score tied and at the end of regulation, kind of trying to set himself up for a three. I don't understand what goes through some of these players' heads where they want to make the highlight. Like, it's just, it has to be dramatic. For me, I just want to see a one-point win. I don't care how it comes down. But I saw that, and then I saw it again, I think, at the end of first overtime where Jason Tatum didn't get bailed out with a foul that was the Clippers had a foul to give, I think, at the end of regulation as Jason Tatum was dribbling on the right, you know, wing of the, you know, right of the circle on the three-point line, dribbling, looking like he was getting ready to set up what would have been a contested three, just kind of trying to dribble and sidestep his defender, only to get fouled at the foul to give, and then I think Kemba Walker had that last shot with 10 seconds to go where he thought maybe he got fouled. And then at the end of the first overtime, Jason Tatum did exactly what I was suspecting him of doing, and, you know, basically just dribbled around, you know, the perimeter, and then took, you know, what was a contested three-point shot. And even Kevin McHale, as I mentioned earlier, Kevin McHale on the national broadcast talking about, you know, Jason Tatum bailing out the Clippers defense with a difficult shot that, you know, if the score is tied, all you need is 1 point to win. You don't need a dramatic three-pointer over half the Clippers' defense in order to, you know, win the game. I know some of these players, and that's one of the things I just don't understand. I mean, Michael Jordan passed the ball twice to win championships or to win series, passed it to John Paxson, and passed to Steve Kerr to get, you know, games won. Sometimes, you know, move the ball a little bit. You don't have to, you know, dribble it and, you know, dribble your man down and then rise for a contested or a sidestep or some other type of, you know, high difficulty level three when the game is tied and all you need is a point to win it. But, like you said, the game was fun. The players that needed to make plays at the end of the day for the Celtics got those plays made. What do you think it was, from a Clippers fan and a Clippers writer perspective, where did you feel? I know, obviously, with the 5-point lead, it's kind of like, oh, well, shit, we're about to lose. But I mean, at what point did you feel? What play did you feel like? Well, that's that. Because I know that a lot of fans, myself included, have those moments where, when there goes the game. For me, it may have been that turnover by Montrezl Harrell on what could have been called. I was surprised it wasn't called the foul by Grant Williams. There was clearly a bump by Grant Williams' body, I think, on a rebound or a loose ball or something that was headed for Montrezl Harrell. Montrez went down, but it wasn't. But nothing was called, and the Celtics got the ball. For me, that was kind of like the ceiling moment. Did you have any feeling in this game in the second overtime that, you know, that was, you know, that was the game was going to be, you know, that was the game basically. That was the game. And that was it. Did you get any feeling about any specific play on that? Maybe the Gordon Hayward forced turnover of Lou Williams there, where he lost the ball out of bounds.
Well, it was probably – it was one, I believe it was like 130, 130, and Tatum missed a step-back three. Clippers get the rebound. They have a chance to take the lead, and Kawhi just dribble. It goes back to the shot selection he had late in this game. He takes a pull-up three in transition, and he misses it. Well, he ends up getting a steal, but basically Boston gets the steal right back. Kawhi turns it over. They get a Boston gets a layup. Shamet comes back down, misses a layup. Celtics come right back down. Jason Tatum gets the layup to put Boston up four with about 2 minutes to go. And then from there, like, the Clippers cut it back down to two on the next play, but it just never felt close after that, because it always feels in overtimes especially, whoever gets a two-possession lead pretty much is going to win, which isn't always the case, but it just has that feeling. And then
right.
It's at two, and then the Celtics come down. They get the open Hayward three, I believe, in the corner, and that was it. Like, once you're up five, I just felt like that was the end of the game, because then Lou turns the ball over, and that's basically just it.
Right. Yeah, Gordon Hayward, he really did come through, you know, late in the game. I'd like to see more than, you know, in a game where you have double overtime, I'd like to see more than, you know, what amounts to maybe 1.5 good quarters of basketball from Gordon Hayward. I think he had a fantastic third quarter. He was kind of like that guy that, you know, got the Celtics going out of the half, kind of contributed to that feeling of the Celtics being in control. And then, you know, really came through there late in the game. Gordon Hayward, you know, missed some bunnies. He missed an open layup. He missed a wide open shot from maybe, you know, 6 feet along the baseline, 6 feet away from the basket, that had me screaming, use the glass, why not use the glass? But then, you know, forced that turnover on Lou, hit that three, grabbed a couple of, you know, critical rebounds there at the end, did it when he needed to get it done. But interesting take. So tell us, Justin, where do you write for, and where can we check you out? Give us a plug before we before I wrap this show up and call it a night. Let everybody know where they can read your writings and your analysis, your basketball analysis, your wisdom as a Clippers writer.
All right. Well, if you want to catch my writing, I'm on Patreon. It's patreon.com/flybynight. It's FlyByKnite. And my Twitter handle is the same thing.
Fly by night. Awesome. Well, appreciate the call, and I don't know. I guess we probably won't play the Clippers again unless it happens to be the NBA Finals. But if you want any Boston Celtics post-game, you know, analysis, talk, whatever it is, you're always welcome to call back in and check us out anytime. Fantastic call, and thanks for your input.
Thank you.
Awesome. Have a good one. Thanks for calling in. That's right. Patreon.com, fly by night. Awesome call. Calling in straight from L.A. Clipperland. Gotta love that. We have listeners from all over the country. With that, I'm going to wrap the show up. Once again, the Boston Celtics, last game before All-Star break, winning 141-133 over the L.A. Clippers. In double overtime, improving to 38-16 on the season. The Boston Celtics will next be in action. Well, a couple of the Boston Celtics will next be in action. This Sunday, the 16th, as Kemba Walker joins Team Giannis in the All-Star game, and Jason Tatum joins Team LeBron against that, or in that same All-Star game. So you'll get to see Kemba Walker and Jason Tatum, two Boston Celtics, the two Boston Celtics All-Stars, playing this weekend, Sunday the 16th, one for Team Giannis, Kemba, and one for Team LeBron, Jason Tatum. These guys were chosen by their respective team captains to join their team. Funny quote from Giannis Antetokounmpo on why he chose Kemba Walker. He said, "I need somebody to pass the ball." So there you go. Even Giannis Antetokounmpo, arguably the best player in the league right now, the best young player at least, recognizes the necessity of a player like Kemba Walker, an unselfish player like Kemba Walker. The Boston Celtics as a team will be back in action Friday the 21st as they take on the Minnesota Timberwolves in Minneapolis. That game, I believe, starts at 8 o'clock. I'm not positive, but if, as you know, after every single game, the CLNS Media Boston Celtics post-game show will be breaking down all of the action, all of the statistics, anything you could possibly want from the game. So not sure who the host will be, but if it is CLNS Media Radio, you can bet that it will be quality analysis. And one last thing before we finish out the show, don't want to bury the lead. This probably should have led the show, but we'll end the show with a dedication to our man.
Anything's possible!
Kevin Garnett, and of course, anything is possible, including getting his number retired by the Boston Celtics. Congratulations to the big ticket, the kid, KG, getting his number retired. No mean feat for the Boston Celtics, who are running out of numbers. You're going to have offensive linemen looking numbers out there, players wearing, you know, 67 and 83 and stuff like that. You're going to have wide receiver numbers out there for the Boston Celtics soon, because all the good numbers, single-digit numbers, and even the normal double-digit numbers are getting retired. And of all those numbers, number 5 is going up in the Raptors at TD Garden. What an honor. So much respect and love for Kevin Garnett. Not sure how everybody in Boston Celtics land feels about it, but I know me personally, I'm absolutely thrilled about Kevin Garnett getting his number retired. Absolutely deserves it. I know he did not spend the majority of his career or that many years in total with the Boston Celtics, but what he did, meaning Kevin Garnett, was change the culture of this franchise. If Kevin Garnett never comes to the Boston Celtics, they don't win banner number 18. And the Los Angeles Lakers possibly surpass the Boston Celtics, because one of those years, the Los Angeles Lakers went to the finals. The Boston Celtics beat them for a championship to give them banner 17. So without Kevin Garnett, there would be no banner 17. The Los Angeles Lakers most likely would have won that finals against some other bum team, whether it was the Cavaliers or the Orlando Magic or whoever else it was, and would have possibly had 17, if not 18 titles by now if it weren't for Kevin Garnett coming to the Boston Celtics. I think this sets the bar really high, though, even though he wasn't there for very long in terms of years. I think it sets the bar very high in terms of impact to the team, in terms of what they accomplish with the team. I think basically at this point, if you're going to be retired by the Boston Celtics, you have to win a ring with the Boston Celtics, or you have to dedicate your entire career to building something that ultimately results in a ring or a banner. Whether you're there for the banner or not, if you are a part of growing that, that's going to be the criteria going forward. And that's really what sets Kevin Garnett apart from other players who wore number 20, for example, in the past, and why that number 20 will never be retired for that particular player, is that Kevin Garnett changed the culture of this Boston Celtics team. He changed the culture from what it was, which was a team that, although making it to the Eastern Conference Finals a few years before Kevin Garnett's arrival, before the construction of the new Big Three, Paul Pierce and Antoine Walker made, and losing to the New Jersey Nets, several years back. But Kevin Garnett changed the culture into one of gritty, hard-nosed defensive basketball. And I know that's, you know, lunch pail sports is what distinguishes Boston sports from pretty much most other cities, in that it's working class sports. It's lunch pail sports. It's bring your hard hat, bring your lunch box, and do your job, to borrow a phrase from the New England Patriots. Tommy Boy, I hope you stay. But and Kevin Garnett brought back that mentality to the Boston Celtics. He brought back that gritty mentality. He brought back that role of you know, defense first, of setting the tone with physicality, of setting the tone with intensity, because there was nobody more intense than Kevin Garnett. And in my opinion, whether every Celtics fan that I've seen on social media, a little bit of disagreement here and there, I don't personally get it. I think Kevin Garnett deserves it. You could tell it was coming because no player has won number five since Kevin Garnett was traded to the Brooklyn Nets. So congratulations to Kevin Garnett on that. Happy as a Boston Celtics fan that the big ticket, the kid, Kevin Garnett, is having his number retired by the Boston Celtics organization. With that, Boston Celtics, 141-133, double overtime win. We'll catch you again Friday the 21st as the Boston Celtics take on the Minnesota Timberwolves. Take it easy, everybody.
Y'all ever been in a bar fight?